living a foolproof life. And as I said last week, notice the word fool is not F-U-L-L, but a F-O-O-L. A foolproof life, and this is part two. Studies suggest, I did a little research on this, studies suggest that in America, around 20 to 30% of all decisions may be considered foolish or poorly thought out. Emotional decision-making often leads to regrettable choices. Pastor Cindy kind of hit on that a little bit. When you just make emotional choices, in fact, people will tell you, wise people will tell you, never make a life-altering choice in the midst of some kind of deep emotion. Never do it. Lack of information or research also can contribute to some very unwise decisions. Peer pressure can influence individuals to make irrational choices. You know, I've often talked about the crowd mentality. It is crazy what people will do in a crowd. You know, riots and all that kind of stuff that goes on. Half the people rioting don't even know why they're rioting. They're just doing it because everybody else is rioting, right? And so it's just, there's a peer pressure. It's an incredible thing. You know, teenagers, I've noticed their brain's not quite formed yet. You know, I mean, they're, Pastor Cindy says it's like, you know, she calls it jello brain until they get about 25. They make a lot of crazy decisions. But when they get together in a big group, they really make crazy decisions. So impulsive buying is a common example of a foolish decision. Anybody here ever had buyer's remorse? Anybody here ever bought something impulsively and was like, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Last time when I was buying my car, was talking to the finance guy, and he told me, I couldn't believe it, but he told me, he said, from time to time, you have people that have buyer's remorse so bad that they literally start having a nervous breakdown. And he said he had one that bought a new car. They loved it. They were so happy and drove from Lake Charles, got to about Lafayette, started having a nervous breakdown, called them up and said, I can't keep this car. You got to take this car back. So they had to take it back. It just buyer's remorse, just because got so overwhelmed because they made a decision based on, wow, that's a really nice car. I got to have it. Those same studies suggest that reflecting on past decisions can help improve future choices, hence the phrase, learn from your mistakes, right? I was talking to my mom about this the other day. I think I mentioned it the other day in church, probably last week during this message, but that, you know, wise people learn from their mistakes. Really wise people learn from other people's mistakes before they have to do it, right? So, but unfortunately, some people don't. And they just keep doing the same thing over and over. And I want you to understand that that goes for those who are in church as well. And so there's an old saying, a wise man will change his mind, but a fool never will. Now, here's another way to say that. A fool stays a fool because he never comes to repentance. Because that's really what repentance is about. So why is so much of the church in America, now there's some wonderful churches and some wonderful people in the body of Christ in America, and I thank God for it. But there's a whole bunch of people who call themselves Christians, who take on the name of Christ, but they're so spiritually immature. Why do so many who take on the name of Christ still act like fools? Now, don't look at them, but anybody know one who goes to church and still acts like a fool? Again, don't look at anybody. It's because many in the church do not want accountability. Nobody wants to be corrected. And the church has to learn how to receive a corrective word. And so the Bible has a lot to say about that. So that correction, by the way, can't just come from a pastor or some kind of other authority in your life. You must learn to receive correction through the word of God. You can't do that if you're not reading it. But you must receive correction through the word of God from the Holy Spirit. But he uses his word to do the correcting. And walk in obedience to the Lord even when the pastor's not looking. Can I get an amen? William McPeace Thackeray, he said, a fool can no more see his own folly than he can see his ears. So sometimes he needs someone to point it out to him. So thank God, you ought to be thanking God for people in your life who are willing through love to help you see what you can't see. I love what my pastor says. He says everybody needs somebody in their life who is not impressed with them, who's willing to tell them what they need to hear. All right. So, but nobody wants to be labeled a fool. And the Bible has so much to say about that. So again, last Wednesday, we talked about this. You can go to the YouTube page and watch that message if you want to. But we're going to connect into that and we're going to add some more things. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight. So why do many people hate correction? There are three things. Number one, we talked about this a lot. Pride. You know, we talked about how this leaves people all puffed up like a puffer fish, hence the picture. All right. They just get all puffed up with pride. And people who are prideful, the Bible says, are fools. All right. The second thing is low self-esteem. You know, people can't handle correction because if you have low self-esteem, you don't see yourself the way God sees you, love the way he loves you. You can't handle correction because it feels like rejection. So the secret is you got to stop trying to get your self-esteem through what you perceive to be your own goodness, and you get your self-esteem through his goodness that is in you. Amen. And then number three is a lack of godly wisdom. It's just simply a lack of godly wisdom. Again, this is why people hate correction. If they had godly wisdom, they would welcome correction. All right. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, and then also verses 6 and 7 says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Proverbs 17, 28. I love this one. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. You know, sometimes in the midst of a particular situation, any particular situation you may be in, sometimes the best thing to do is just keep your mouth shut, right? Everybody in the room will think he must know something, or she must know something, right? But if you're always spouting what you think you know, eventually you're gonna make a fool out of yourself. Ecclesiastes 10, 2 through 3. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Y'all didn't know the Bible talked about politics, did you? Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everybody how stupid he is. That's amazing to me that the Bible says that. The Bible has some teeth, all right? Now let's look at this. Seven reasons to embrace correction. Seven reasons to embrace correction. Number one, it will keep you from being stupid. That's a good reason, right? Now, and I've taught this, this became like one of my favorite all-time scriptures. Whoever loves discipline, this is Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now, I don't think we should go around calling people stupid. But I don't have a problem reading the scripture to people. Amen? Because it's not my opinion, it's his opinion. And I remember thinking, how awesome is that? That God put that in his word to let us know that if I don't love his discipline, then I'm a stupid person. If I don't love correction, I'm a stupid person. And you know why I'm stupid? And I will stay stupid? Because I never correct. And so tell your neighbor, don't be a stupid fool. All right, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 1:22. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 15:5. I tell you, I have a lot of scriptures. Proverbs 15:5, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. It's amazing to me, this is what we do because it's in our nature, is we want people to be impressed with us. And so what'll happen is sometimes we'll get in a situation where we're trying to impress people with what we think is right. We want them to think that we have it all together and we know what we need. And sometimes the best thing we can do is just shut up. And I think about Peter. I think about poor Peter, who's at the Mount of Transfiguration. You got Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And I mean, just imagine that scene. And Peter is so overwhelmed by that. And I mean, it's just, and he's like, wow, Jesus, this is amazing. We can build all three of y'all a little house right here, a little tabernacle, a little dwelling place right here. We can build all three. And while the Bible says that while he's talking, the cloud of God, the glory of God, the cloud descends. And in the midst of that, God speaks and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he says, listen to him. That is so amazing. That is the nicest way that anybody ever said, would you please shut up? So Peter's in a situation, and I often think, I would have loved to have heard that conversation between Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. But he can't learn anything because he's too busy talking. He's too busy expressing his opinion about what should be done. And God has to shut him up. Just an example. Sometimes the best thing we can do is shut up. So the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. I can't tell you over the years how many times people would ask us for advice, but they never take it. I guess they want to feel good about, well, at least I asked. But you're not going to do anything with it. So eventually I learned I probably ought to not give him advice anyway. What I ought to do is just tell him what you need to do is hear from God about this matter, period. And if you don't hear from God on this matter, then don't do it. Don't step forward. Amen. All right. Proverbs 15:31. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. Now raise your hand. Who in here just really enjoys being rebuked real good? Anybody like me? Sometimes we need a good rebuke. The Bible says that the one who listens to, now notice it's a life-giving rebuke, who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. All right, so that's reason number one. It will keep you from being stupid. This is, you know, number one of the reasons we embrace correction. Number two is it'll bring prosperity to you. It'll bring prosperity to you. Proverbs 13:18a, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame. Proverbs 17:16, of what use is money in the hand of a fool since he has no desire to get wisdom? This is why over and over again, you see, I mean, I don't hear about it too often anymore, but years ago, boy, when everybody was talking about the lottery and everybody, I mean, they're wasting their money on lottery tickets, but then if somebody does win, most of the time, before it's all said and done, they've wasted the money and their life is worse off than it was before they won the lottery. Over and over again, people, for instance, who have won free houses through some of these big events where they give houses out, people who have gotten free houses within a year's time, they have that house so torn up that, you know, holes in the walls and just filthy and everything else. Why? Because they live like a fool. They're not looking for wisdom. They're just looking for a handout. And so God says, what use is money in the hand of a fool since he has no desire to get wisdom? He's going to use that money to destroy himself. Proverbs 25:12, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. So again, sometimes we need a good rebuke. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. In other words, if I want to do all the talking, I'm never going to do any listening, I'm going to ruin my life. All right. Now, again, don't look at anybody in the room that you know of, but anybody around here just do way too much chatter and not enough listening? Okay. Number three, another reason is that it will keep you in God's will. Now, I'll tell you, this is probably the most important one. You want to embrace correction because it'll keep you in the will of God. Tell your neighbor, you don't want to be out of the will of God. That is the most miserable place a person can ever be, out of the will of God, right? Proverbs 10:17 says, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." And then the NIV says it this way, "He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray." If you want to have an effective life, if you want to be a person that God can use, if you want to be a person who's actually going to make a difference in other people's lives, you first have to become a person who can receive correction. All right, number four, it will bring you to maturity. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. It says, "A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool." You know what he's trying to say here? He's trying to say, you know, you'd do a whole lot better to discern when somebody's speaking wisdom to you and receive that. You'd be a lot better off doing that than having to be beaten because you're acting like a fool. Right? Now, you know, all of this stuff, I encourage people, and especially men, especially young men, they ought to feed on Proverbs regularly. Because there's so much, it's called a wisdom book for a reason. And I mean, there's so much stuff in there that if you actually do listen and you actually put it to work in your life, it'll sure save you a lot of pain. So it'll bring you to maturity. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to a rebuke." Proverbs 15:12, "A mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise." Now, anybody remember at some point in time in your life when you resented correction that came to you? Come on, anybody? Absolutely. Yeah. And here's the bad news about that. We were fools for doing it. The King James, New King James says it this way, "A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise." I remember when I was a teenager, I had a friend, I won't say who it is or anything, but I had a friend, and he wanted to do something, and his mother told him no, and he was so mad at her. I'll never forget, he was so mad at her, and he walked away from there and like called her a really nasty name that no young man should ever, ever call his mother. And I remember I was so stunned. I was so stunned to hear him say that about his mother. And I said, "Man, I got to tell you something. I beat a boy just about into a mud puddle for calling my mama that same name." And I said, "I better never hear you call your mama that again." I'm sorry, D. I was just mad. I said, "Hell, I don't care. You were mad or not. I don't care. Don't you ever call your mama that word again. Don't ever do that again." And he didn't, as far as I know. But I wasn't right to threaten him. But the point is, I was so stunned because that's not something that would ever even enter into my mind to say something about that, something like that about my mom. All right. Again, the scoffer does not love the one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. Proverbs 15:31-32. "He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself." Notice what it says. "He who ignores discipline despises" who? "Himself. But whoever heeds correction gains understanding." Now, I can't help but notice that he's talking mainly to males in here, right? He's using him, you know, himself, those kind of things, right? Now, women can be fools, girls can be fools too, but men just really specialize in it, right? So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25, "Flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke a discerning man, and he will gain knowledge." Well, hopefully. They don't always. But basically, the idea is the Word of God's letting us know God wants us to gain knowledge and wisdom. All right. So again, when we embrace correction, it will bring you to maturity. You know, we're talking about like the various programs, whether it's Teen Challenge, or whether it's Lazarus House, or whether it's the program that you guys have in DeRidder there, the various, and there's a lot of them around. You know, I want to tell you, the biggest problem with anybody that's ever had to get in there is because at some point in their life, they refused correction. Am I right? at some point in their life, they were going to do it their way, no matter what anybody thought. All right? Now, and the difference between a lot of other people and those that have had to go through programs like that or go into prison is just some people just didn't get caught. Right? Here's another reason to embrace correction. We should want correction. We should want things to be correct in our life. Number five, it will bring honor to you. Proverbs 26:1, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Now here's the thing, and if you honor a fool, you become a fool. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Now remember what we said, the very first problem, the reason people will not take correction is what? Pride, right? And so the Bible say it, first of all, the fear of the Lord teaches man wisdom. And if you truly have the fear of the Lord, then right along with that comes humility. And then when there's humility, God will honor that person. He will raise that person up. Proverbs 3:35, the wise inherit honor, but fools, he holds up to shame. Your foolishness will catch up with you. Proverbs 13:18b, but whoever heeds correction is honored. All right, let's keep on going. Number six, one of the reasons we embrace correction is, and this one's important, it'll keep you alive. Now, I know that probably most everybody here, at least the males in this room, are only here alive by the grace of God. Oh, and Mama's wooden spoon. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And look, I count myself in that. So listen, it'll keep you alive. Proverbs 15:10, stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. I mean, it doesn't get any more plain than that. Proverbs 29:1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. You know, here's the problem, is we never know which rebuke's going to be the last one. So why would we push it? Again, I've told this before, and some folks were here when this. We've had people come to this church and be here in a service where the power of God was here, the presence of God was here moving, and leave out of the church service and then go do something so stupid that either cost them a life or their life or cost them their life in prison. I mean, we had a man in here sitting on the front row hollering amen and everything else, left church, got mad at his landlord and beat the man to death. Life in prison. We had a young man, same thing, leave out of this church and, you know, within a week, he was dead. And then I don't want to say it was an overdose. We had a man who was in this church who would sit and shout hallelujah and put on Mr. Christian in front of people as much as possible, and he wouldn't listen to anybody. You try to teach him, he'd always want to tell you what he knew. You know, he's sitting in prison right now with a death penalty because he murdered someone. It didn't have to be that way. God was reaching for him, but they remained stiff-necked, and so will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Proverbs 5:22-23. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Or we could say it this way, his own great foolishness or his own great stubbornness. All right, so since y'all like that one so much, we'll go to the next one. Number seven, it'll keep you from looking back at your life with regret. And what are we talking about? Embracing correction. If you embrace correction, it will keep you from looking back at your life with regret. If I haven't said this 100 times, I haven't said it at all. The worst thing I can imagine is to breathe my last breath full of regret, knowing that one day every one of us are going to be in a casket, or at least we're going to die. Some people aren't even using caskets anymore. That's another subject. But we will all at some point live our last day on this earth, all right? Even if it's getting caught up in the rapture, we're going to live a last day on this earth. I do not want to stand before the Lord full of regret. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11 through 12. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. What a sad life. And it doesn't have to be that way. What, did you ever ask yourself, why am I so stinking stubborn? Why? I tell you why. Here's the answer. Because you choose to be a fool. And if this message don't do something to help you, I don't know what can. Number three, giving a corrective word. Here's the thing. What I don't want people to do is hear a message like this and then leave out of here thinking they can go just correct anybody and everybody and tell them how the cow eats the cabbage and all of that. That's not what we're looking for. That's not what God is looking for. So I'm going to give you a little bit of direction on this. God is looking for people who are willing to give a corrective word led by His Spirit. But number one, this is the most important thing, is it must be done with the right motivation. If I'm going to give a corrective word, if I'm going to talk about somebody being foolish, then my motivation better be because I love that person. And I want the best for that person. My motivation isn't to show them how smart and wonderful I am and how stupid, how foolish, and how unwonderful or not wonderful they are. Because what you have just done now is stepped into pride, which makes you what? A fool, all right? So it's got to be for the good of all involved if there's a corrective word. Number two is, and it's connected to number one, is that it must be done in love. It must be. Now, here's the thing. It don't always feel like love to the person that's being corrected. It don't always feel like to the one that's receiving it. It doesn't always feel like love, but neither does a spanking from a good parent. It doesn't always feel like love when God is disciplining me. But yet the scripture tells me He disciplines those He loves. Why? Because if I don't have discipline in my life, I'm going to ruin my life. I'm going to be a fool, and I'm going to literally destroy all the potential that God gave me. And I'm going to waste all the breath that He put in my life to use for His glory. So it must be done in love. And it's very important that before, if you feel like you have some kind of a corrective word for somebody, the first thing to do is go before the Lord and say, Lord, is my motive right here? Lord, is this because I love the person, or is it because they just got on my last stinking nerve? How many of you ever saw that sign? I walked into an office one day, and it had a sign, and it had a lady, and her hair was just all frazzled. I mean, she looked like she was having a nervous breakdown. And the sign said, I have one nerve left, and you're getting on it. So we don't want it to be because of that. So, all right, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. So here's the thing. It's got to be motivated by love, but what we also need to understand is that if we really do love that person, and everything we do, it needs to be led by the Holy Spirit, all right? But if I really do love that person, then I should not hold back the rebuke that the Lord wants to give them. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I can't sugarcoat it. I can't cover it over. I can't try to make them feel good when what they really need is a rebuke. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Because if not, I become an enabler and I keep them trapped. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. So you could say, but I love them. Yeah, but you're hiding that love by not doing what God said to do. But again, you better do it with the right motive, and it better be through love. Now, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6 through 12, that says, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. But do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. We actually talked about this last week. It almost seems contradictory. But if you're led by the Holy Spirit, God will make all that, He'll make it work out. All right? If you do it in the natural, you're just inviting a beating. You're inviting abuse. But if you're led by the Holy Spirit, God can use what you're saying to help change the heart of that person. And it goes on to say, instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. He's not going to get insulted because you didn't think he already knew everything. Anybody ever get insulted when somebody tries to teach you something? Anybody ever broke the ninth commandment about not lying? I ain't seeing no hands go up. But I know there are times when I feel insulted. Like, why are you telling me that? You trying to say I'm stupid? Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. In other words, he don't get insulted. He says, you know what? That's good stuff. I'm going to add that. I'm going to add that to what I've learned. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker or a fool, you alone will suffer. So it's decision time. Anytime you hear a message, anytime you hear a word from God, listen, if you hear something, whether it's from this pulpit or whether it's from another source, if you hear a word from God, you have a responsibility now to do something with it. Now, if you didn't intend to do anything with it, then you shouldn't have showed up. But if you didn't show up, that tells me you're a fool because you don't want to learn. But if you did show up, now you got to do something with it. Now you have to make a decision. Am I going to walk in wisdom or am I going to be a stupid fool? So again, you've been presented with truth and now you got to decide. You say, well, Pastor Dwayne, but we're already, you know, I mean, we're here tonight because we love God and we want his word. Yeah, but you're going to be tempted as soon as you walk out those doors to act like a fool one way or the other. And you're going to have to remember this. You're going to have to make a decision. You got to decide. Now, years ago, I ran into this particular poem. I love it. Now, my wife told me the first time I read this, she says, that don't even make any sense. I just love this poem. How many of you have ever heard, he's a renowned theologian, guy by the name of Dr. Seuss. Anybody ever heard of him, Dr. Seuss? So I ran across this particular poem by this theologian named Dr. Seuss. This is what he said. He said, did I ever tell you about the young Zode who came to the sign or to a sign at the fork of the road? He looked one way and the other way too. The Zode had to make up his mind what to do. Well, the Zode scratched his head and his chin and his pants. And he said to himself, I'll be taking a chance. If I go to place one, that place may be hot. So how will I know if I like it or not? On the other hand, though, I feel such a fool if I go to place two and I find it's too cool. In that case, I may catch a chill and turn blue. So place one may be best and not place two. Place safe, cried the Zode. I'll play safe. I'm no dunce. I'll simply start off to both places at once. And that's how the Zode, who would not take a chance, went no place at all with a split in his pants. You got to make a choice. Let's stand to our feet. Some of you, listen, I know what it's like to make foolish decisions. I've made many foolish decisions myself. How many of you are tired of making foolish decisions? Absolutely. So how many of you would be in agreement for God's wisdom to be poured out to you? Now understand, you can't bypass his word. Just because somebody prays for you doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to have wisdom and you're going to bypass his word. No, no, no. I believe what's going to happen is you're going to start getting such a hunger for his word that you're going to want to devour that word. Yes. And wisdom is going to come. Amen.